doing a whole lot of shouting. But understand that from even from my title and from what you will be seeing, it is necessary that I do it and that I bring it to you. It's for your sakes and your children's sakes. So understand what I'm bringing to you. Really doesn't have us in mind as adults, but it has your children in mind, because Abraham commanded his children and his household after him. And I want you to understand that what you command your children will bring forth your blessings. Now, we know that what we do will affect our children, right? What I do in my life will affect my children and my grandchildren. We talked about that. We understand that. What I want you to understand today, the point I want you to get today, is this point, is that how you rear your children, what you command your children, will also determine your personal blessings. Let me say that another way. How I commanded my son and my daughter as I raised them determined whether God could bless me or not with the things He promised me. Now, it's kind of a little different, so I'm going to work on it a little bit. But I want you to see this. This is totally biblical. And a lot of times people will come to me and say, I don't understand why God's not doing this or not doing that, why He's not answering this prayer, not answering that prayer. Well, it could have something to do mightily with how you've commanded your children, how you've reared your children. Now, look at me in the book of Genesis. No, look at me, look in the Bible, at the book of Genesis, chapter number 18. This is a teaching word, okay? We're going to be teaching today. Just ministering to you the Word of God. Chapter number 18. In James chapter 2, in verse 23, we read there that the Bible says that Scripture was fulfilled. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed for him for what? Imputed unto him for righteousness. Now, I'll get that part first, that imputation or equaling faith, believing, equals righteousness. That's the way we're righteous. What is righteousness? It's doing it right. It's believing and doing it the way God said to do it. That is righteousness. It was imputed to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And then it says this, that, and Abraham was called the friend of God. Now, if you have an inquiring mind like mine, when a passage hits you, when you're studying the life of Abraham, or you're teaching, or you're talking about Abraham, you'll sometimes just lean back, kick your feet up, and say, why? Why Abraham? What was so cool about Abraham? What was so great about this guy that of all the people in the earth, the Lord selected Abraham? What did he have going that I don't have going, or you don't have going, or others don't have going, that the Lord just, out of all the earth, picks Abraham and says, I want you to be my buddy. I'm going to make a deal with you, Abraham. If you'll get out of Ur, and if you'll come to a land where you don't know where you're going, if you'll follow me, I'll bless you. What had Abraham done to do this? What was so cool about Abraham? I not only bless you, I'll make your name great. And I'll not only make your name great, Abraham, I'll show you a land, and if it works out between you and me, I'll give it to you and to your seed. And not only that, if you'll just come on, Abraham, if you'll just come on, I'll even bless those that bless you. And I'll curse those that curse you. I really want you to come, Abraham. Will you come? What was so cool about Abraham? In the selection of today's lesson, and what we'll be looking here in Genesis 18, that question is answered. I want you to know that. I want you to know there was a reason that God knew Abraham, and why God selected Abraham to be his friend, and why it was Abraham. There was something there that you'll just read over unless somebody points it out to you, but there is a reason that it was Abraham. There was a reason that God said, I know you. And there's a reason that He'll know you or I that way, that we also can be the friend of God. And it has to do with how we command our children in the households after us. See, what it is very important that not only do I raise my children correctly, but I also impart into them the things, the ways, the righteousness, and the justices of God to my grandchildren, to the households after me. And I get it so into them that the households after them get it too. Because this will determine whether God's able to bless me or not. Now, I know we don't think like that. We're self-centered creatures. We think, well, it's just me and Jesus. No, 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 no. It's you, your family, your children after you. That will determine whether you're getting your blessings or not. Are you there in Genesis 18? Read with me, please. Verse 17 and 18 and 19. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Now, who could tell me what thing he was about to do? Sodom. That's all he got to say. Because Sodom has become a metaphor. Two thoughts come to your mind when Sodom is mentioned. Number one, a grievous sin. Talk about that. Terrible sin. Number two, judgment. Those two things come to your mind? See, that's where the Lord has trained us. The biblical mind, the mind that understands Scripture, immediately, all you got to do is say Sodom. Sin and judgment. That thing that I do. Now, he says that thing that I do. Does he say that thing I might do? That thing I'm thinking about doing? So in the mind of God, this was a done deal. Am I right? If he's the Alpha and Omega, which the book of Revelation tells us it is, if he's outside of time, which the book of Romans tells us that he has predestined them that he foreknew. For them he foreknew him, them that he also did predestinate, right? Is that what the Bible says? Well, then he's outside of time, and there's a foreknowledge, a foreknowledge in God that he knows the beginning and the end. This was a done deal to God. But yet he let Abram come to him and beg him. 50? 45? 40? 30, 20, 10? Am I right? He let Abram, though it was a done deal, he still let Abram go through all of it. Now, I'm trying to develop all of this. I want you to understand something. This is important that we understand several thoughts, principles here. But this was a done deal. It's not that I might do. It's not that I may do. I want Abram to know this thing that I do. Verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation. Did he? Yes. And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Are we? Are we blessed because of Jesus Christ? Sure. Verse 19. For, here's why I really can't hide it from Abraham. For I know him. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that just precious? I mean, that's a precious. I know him. That. Here's why I know him. I know him that. I know him because. Here's why I picked Abraham. Here's why I got him to be my buddy. Here's why I'm blessing Abraham. That. I know him that. Here's why, out of all the people in the earth, I picked him. I think about that. Lord, why Abraham? You know, all the people. Well, I knew it had to come through Shem. Okay, so that eliminated two-thirds of the population right there. But then I said, well, why still? You know, and when you get here, you see, I know you. Here's why I know you. I know you that. I know you because I know you that. He will command his children and his household. Does he have a child yet? Isaac's not born yet. He's only a few months away. Abram now is right at 99 years old. A few months from 100. And we know that. And what we're looking at and we're seeing here is that he says, I know you're going to do it right. I've picked you, Abraham. I know you, Abraham. For or that you will command your children and the household after you. Not only will you put this into your kids, you're going to make sure it gets into your grandkids. Now, again, what is he about to do? Just say Sodom. He's about to do Sodom. Now, so understand the context. Oh, that's what I want you to get. What is the context here? The context is, I'm going to tell Abraham what I'm about to do. I'm explaining to him. I can't hide it from him. I want him to understand it. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Is it interesting? Is it necessary that we teach our children to keep the way or the ways of the Lord? If we want to be the friend of God, this is a mandate. If we want to have a relationship with God, if we really want to be a friend and not just an acquaintance, and surely not his enemy, but if we want to be his friend, then we have got to know how to command our children and the households after our children. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Justice and judgment. Say that back. Justice and judgment. I won't talk about, I hope I will in just a second, but just in case I don't, in the book of Romans chapter 11, it tells us there, behold the goodness and the severity of God. And this chapter is a perfect example of that. In the first part of the chapter, we have the blessings of the chapter. He comes to Abraham. Remember last week? he ate with Abraham. He just appeared to Abram. He walks up the driveway to Abram. And where's Abram? Abram's in the tent, get out of the heat. Just like you and I, sometimes we just want to get in the tent, out of the heat. Heat of life, heat of times, whatever. We just want to kind of retreat. And all of a sudden, God appears to us. And this is what we saw last week. There was God. And Abraham, as we talked about, he ran, this 100-year-old guy, rushing or running to the Lord. You see, and he goes there, and he feeds the Lord, and he spends time with the Lord. And then the Lord blesses Abraham. He says, I'm going to restore unto you the time of life. Remember that? I'm going to give you back, Abraham, the time of life. I'm going to restore. You're going to desire your wife, Sarah. You're going to have a child. And Sarah, what did Sarah do to that? She laughed. She laughed. And God says to Sarah, why'd you laugh? No, he says to Abraham, why'd Sarah laugh? And you remember last week. I'm not going to go all there. I'm just going to say that. And then he says, no, this is a no-brainer. You don't have to do nothing, Sarah. You don't have to pray about this. I will do this thing. You are going to have a son. He restored to Abraham the time of life and said, Sarah shall have a son. Right? So this is the first part of the chapter. Total blessings, just total fellowship with God, loving his friends. And if you go a little further and just work on that just a little bit, Jesus is in the upper room eating with his friends. With me? And he says, you're no longer my servants. I'm not going to call you my servants anymore. I'm going to call you my friends. And then he says in that same context with those same people to his friends, you can ask anything in my name. And I'll do it. I'll bless you if you're my friend. There are tremendous blessings when we get an acquaintance and a relationship with the Lord. Not an acquaintance, but a relationship with the Lord where he becomes a friend to us. Now, the contrast that I'm trying to get to here, the first part of the chapter was the friends, blessing. Second part of the chapter, the justice and the judgment. Abraham, you're going to tell your kids about this. You're going to tell your kids. This is why I picked you, Abraham, because you're going to tell your kids my way. You're going to make sure they understand it. Total contrast of a chapter here. Blessing of the friends, judgment to the enemies. Of those who rebel against the ways of God. Now, let me read on, starting over with verse 19. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment that. Now, here's why it becomes important that Abraham do this. This is why it becomes important for you or I to do this. This is why it's so important for me personally that I raised him and Bonnie correctly. There's a reason that. Now get this. Don't miss this. If you don't get anything else that I've said today, get this. That the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. The blessings of Abraham were dependent upon Abraham making sure that his children and his households after him understood the ways, the judgment, and the justice of God. We understand that it's important for me to live a righteous life so that my kids can be blessed because they're affected by what I do. But it's also important that we understand what your blessings are cannot come forth if you miscommand your kids. If you don't do this part right, it will hinder God blessing what he's already said he's going to do for you. Is this what the verse says? God says, Abraham, you've got to do it right so I can bless you. And so we've got to learn how, sometimes in life, we don't get the blessings of God, or we're praying and something's not happening. Well, why? One of the reasons, a major reason, that God can't do some things he's promised us is because we haven't commanded our children correctly. And Abram would. And it's for this reason God picks him. It's for this reason. God says, here's why you're my friend. I'm going to pick you because you're going to do this right. Not only you, but your children and the households after you are going to understand my ways, my justice, and my judgment. Romans 11, the goodness, the severity of God. It's important that you teach your kids goodness and the severity of God. There's very little teaching on the severity of God these days. You with me? And I try to balance it. I want you to understand his goodness, but understand that there is a severity of God. Sodom. Verse 20. And the Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. Now, my title is, he will command his children and his households. Now, first point that I want to get to is they looked up. If you look at verse 16. Remember the story now. The angels were visiting, angel and the Lord God Almighty was visiting Abraham. They're sitting under the tree. They've just finished their steak and their bread and butter and a big glass of milk. And then verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Get the picture. They stand up and they start moving toward Sodom. First, they looked toward Sodom. You got to get this the picture. When they stood up, they didn't give it a glance. It was a gaze. The word in the Hebrew here means a gaze. If you get the word picture, you can understand it. It paints it for us like looking out a window at something, trying to gaze. I was thinking about this, and you know, most of us have had an eye exam at some time or the other. And you sit there, and they put this thing over your face, remember? And they start showing you these things, and they want you to read these letters and these lines and these words. And all of a sudden, you start gazing. I mean, you get this thing on you, and you can't go anywhere, but you start leaning into it. Has anybody ever done that beside me? You're in that chair, and you're really wanting to read. I can do that. I can read that. And you find yourself pressing against. You with me? You're pressing against this thing, trying to gaze at. And this is the thought. They're leaning like out of a window. They're focused on it. They're trying their very best to focus on Sodom. Now, again, this is tough teaching. And let me tell you the way we've got to think so you'll understand where I'm really at with the thing. Okay? Traditional Christianity desires to destroy the Sodomites. Traditional Christianity believes that God, they so desire that God will blow up the wicked. They want them to destroy the wicked so desperately that they're willing to blow the planet up to do it. Am I right? This is the traditional. We're going to, so us good churchgoers can walk on streets of gold, right? This is the mentality. Let's blow them all up because we're the good ones. But the friend of God says, Lord, there's 50 there. 40? Would you do it for 40? And he goes all the way down to 10. What the friend of God, what men of God like Moses and Abraham does is they say, oh, let me find a reason why you don't have to destroy the wicked. There's got to be something good they've done. Will you destroy the wicked? And in the meantime, also destroy the righteous? There's got to be something good that this person's done, God, that you can spare them. But that's not the way we're in traditional Christianity. Oh, we're going to blow it all up. So you and I, us churchgoers, can walk on streets of gold. Duh. But men like Moses stands before the Lord God. You remember in Exodus where God says, Moses, just stand aside and we'll destroy them all. And I'll start all over with you. He says, no, just wipe me out too. He learned that from Abraham. That's where I'm going. I want you to understand. But I also want you to understand sodomy. We have an English word that we get from this word or the city, Sodom. And it's the word sodomy. I'm doing this with as much delicacy as I can, but I need to command your children and your households after you. Okay? Now, here's the definition from the American Heritage Bible. Anal copulation of one male with another, or copulation with an animal. This is what was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah and the plain cities. In the book of Genesis, chapter 13, verse 13, it says there, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Let me say that one more time. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. When I hit that when we were in chapter 13, I stumbled a little bit because in my mind, I don't have big sins and little sins. I didn't think there were big sins and little ones. I just thought sin was sin. I know that Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means you've sinned, I've sinned, we've sinned, right? All have sinned. So sin is sin. But here we read, and it's the only place in the Bible, this is written, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So, what does that mean? That means that this sin that was going on in Sodom was exceeding other wicked sins. You with me? There is then, in the mind of the Lord, there is a sin that exceeds other sins. And this is the way I read it. They were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And in other words, this sin of, that was going on in Sodom, sodomy, was wicked and exceeding sin. These were sinners exceedingly. These were high sinners. Now, then here in Genesis 18, verse 20, read this with me. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is not just grievous, but very grievous, he says, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come up to me. And if not, the word grievous here is heavy. Word picture. It's heavy before the Lord. It's come up. The cry of Sodom has come up before the Lord. And it's grievous. It's, what does that mean? The Lord is burdened. It's a heavy thing on the Lord. It's, and when you're burdened, you can't move. You can't walk. You can't carry the weight. It's a burden. And he's holding back the Lord. And the Lord's not able to go through the earth and to bring forth the kingdom of God. And it's holding back the advancement of the kingdom of God. It's holding back the things of God. What's going on in Sodom and Gomorrah and the plain cities is holding back God. And God says, it's a grievous thing to me. It's holding me down. I can't move. It's heavy to me. And I got to go down and see it myself. I can't take the word for it. I can't take somebody's word for it. This is heavy. This is a big thing. This is important. I got to go see myself. Then I'll know. Sinners exceeding. Grievous. Heavy. Sodom. The word Sodom is mentioned in the Scriptures 49 times. 39 Old Testament, 9 New Testament. And every time it's with the whole context. Every time Sodom. It's a metaphor. Two thoughts come to your mind. First one is what? Sin exceeding. And second one, destruction. It's a metaphor. It happens now because your mind is trained to think like that. And so those are the things, and this is what the Lord wants us to do. But I want you to understand that also there's a spiritual Sodom. There's a spiritual Sodom. Put up for me, please. Revelation 11:8. Now, there are other verses. There, Isaiah talks about this. Jeremiah talks about this. Jeremiah, Ezekiel talks about this. There is a Sodom that is spiritual. And in the book of Romans, chapter 15, it says first the natural and then the spiritual. In other words, we can look at the natural, and then when we look into the gaze into the spiritual, there's also something that's going on in the spiritual because it's going on in the natural. You with me? And so what was going on in Sodom, in natural, is going on in the dimensions of the Spirit in the spiritual. And in book of Revelation, chapter 11, in verse 8, it's talking here about the witnesses, the two witnesses of God. And they're going to lie in their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which what? Spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt. Right? We're also... Our Lord was crucified. Now, was our Lord crucified in Sodom? Was our Lord crucified in Egypt? Where was our Lord crucified at? Jerusalem. Jerusalem became a Sodom. In the dimension of the Spirit, it became a Sodom. So there is a spiritual sodomy. What does that mean? Just real quickly, I got it here. I look like I'm going longer than I wanted to, but Romans 11. Find that for me, Galen. Romans 11. And if you got it in your Bible, I'd rather you turn to it in your Bible. Romans 1. Romans 1. Romans 1. Now, the Apostle Paul here deals with this. And I want to read verses 26, 27, and 28, and then I want to bring it into the natural, into the spiritual. Because I want you to understand that simply because you are not a homosexual, do not have lesbian tendencies, and maybe you're not close to anyone that does, there is a spiritual dimension which can get on us too. And it's just as destructive. Hello? Now, let's look at this. 26. Romans 1, 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. What does this mean? Prostitute. Also means women with women. And it also means bestiality. Reading on. Is this heavy? You're not shouting today. This is teaching, huh? This is heavy plowing. But see, we're commanding your children and your children after you. Verse 27. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman. Is it natural for a man in a woman. That's the natural use of a woman. Burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, homosexuality, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met. Somebody says, well, I didn't know that was in the Bible. Well, then read your Bible. You need to understand this. And verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, we understand the natural. Let's put this in the realm of the spirit. What is that? What could this possibly be? How can there be spiritual Sodom? What if I said it preacher with preacher? What if I relayed to you that there are preachers in the earth today, they're not seeking, that as part of the woman, seeking the Lord to receive seed from Him and to receive an impartation from Him, but what they do is they run after other preachers. They run, I want to say it like he says it, or I want to do it like he does it, rather than receiving an impartation, a seed, an incorruptible seed from the Lord God, from the Bible themselves, and having a word, but yet still they take what somebody else has done, and they're just men with men, or preachers with preachers. What about women? Well, who is the woman in the spirit? Sure. See, we preachers will leave the natural use of the woman, the church, and just start chasing after preachers. Rather than trying to birth the church, rather than trying to bring the church in the earth, what they begin to do is run after a preacher. Men with men, preachers with preachers. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, I think I've got that for you. And in Matthew 23, Jesus said to the Pharisees, woe unto you, you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you cross land and sea to make, listen to how he says it, to make a proselyte. Not make a baby, not make a birth, but to make a proselyte. And then once you've made him one, what happens? He's twice or two times, twofold, the son of hell that you are. And what was happening here in Sodom in the natural is they were making people fall, being the sons of hell. And what happens in the realm of the spirit when preachers after preachers are men with men are leaving and forsaking the natural use of the woman, we begin to put into people this evil, vile thing. We make them twice. Pharisee with Pharisee. Woman with woman. Church not having her own identity. A church not seeking the Lord and copulating with the Lord, if you will, and receiving seed from Him and impartation from Him. But yet we image, are we chased after other churches to be and to copulate with them. We don't do much of that here. You know, I'll find something that maybe works somewhere and we'll bring it, we'll look at it. But as far as we're not like anybody. We're not women with women, and you know what I preach, I don't get nowhere but from the Lord. Hallelujah. And I command my children. I teach them the ways of God. Hallelujah. And the households after them. What I'm giving you, you're going to give to your kids. Hallelujah. You don't need this somebody to tell you about homosexuality. Goodness gracious, you know that. But I need to warn you about spiritual sorrow. I'm going back to Genesis. They looked and they gazed. It was very grievous to the Lord. It was heavy to the Lord. It was stopping the advancement of the kingdom. I'm telling you, that's what happens, is it not, with spiritual Sodom? They don't preach the kingdom of God. They preach dying and going to heaven. They don't preach overcoming. Come on! It stops the advancement of the kingdom of God in the earth. You know I'm telling you the truth. Now, why does the Lord use such terms? Why is every time, the 49 times that Sodom is used, why is it in a discussed context? Why does he use terms like sinners exceedingly? Why does he use terms like grievous? Because here's why. Aren't there other sins and bondages that people can get into that are bad as well? Yes, but this is exceeding. This one goes higher than the rest of them. I didn't understand that. And I kicked that back again and put my feet up and said, Lord, you've got to help me. I don't understand this. You know, give me some information here. I lack some wisdom. Break me up. Do what you got to do. Give it to me. I said, Lord, you know, alcoholism. That's a bondage. Drug addiction. That's a bondage. Whoremongers. Prostitutes. Bondages. What is the deal? I don't understand. Why are you picking out this one? What's the problem here? Lord Jones, there's no other sin that terminates when sodomy is brought to its finality, when it's brought to its fullness, which obviously it had done in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah in the plains. Men can copulate with men. Women can copulate. Both can the beast of a devil win without even
And the first commandment the Lord gave to the man and the woman, multiply. I got to do the natural and then the spiritual. And the natural. It's heartbreaking and it's sad. And as we see the friend, mind of the friend of God, if an individual has a son or a daughter who goes in this direction, and they go to the full extent of it, that seed stops, that lineage. And God may have wanted something to come forth down the row here. He may have wanted a seed in your lineage that would come forth, but it won't come forth because it can't come forth because men with men can't conceive, and women with women can't conceive, and men and women with beasts can't conceive, and so the lineage is terminated. Do you understand? You know, and understand. Listen, I'm trying to understand. I want you to understand my heart, and it's very difficult to because I have a relative who is a homosexual, and I look at him. He's lost everything he ever had. It's such a bondage you can't get him free. I don't understand it. It seems like that's the claw the enemy has in their head. And for no matter what they do or pray or whatever happens, it seems like that's always got them for some reason. And he can't get free. And he's lost everything. He's lost his family. He's lost everything. And I look at his wife and I look at his children today and they are defiled. None of them serve the Lord. And it's a grievous thing to the Lord because that's where the kingdom has stopped. And this is why. So hear my heart. I pray for them. God, I want them saved. I want them delivered. Lord, there's something righteous that this person has done. This is a good man. This man worked hard. He labored. He doesn't deserve this, Lord God. Oh, can't you help him? Can't you set him free? There's something righteous in his life that he's done. Spare him, Lord. Most of us have either a loved one, and it terminates in the kingdom, moving advancement of the kingdom. It's a grievous thing. Now, in the spiritual realm, if a church just chases a church, if a preacher just chases a preacher and doesn't teach the people to have a relationship with the Lord, the kingdom stops. It just becomes a spiritual Sodom, religious system. Nothing is produced. Proselytes are made, but they only become twice. You with me? This is why it was so grievous to them. Descendants stopped. And I look, you know, and when it comes to its full potential and place in society, there are no more children born. The kingdom stops. It terminates. It's so sad. Let's move on. Verse 19. For I know him. Now understand the context that this is said. The Lord says, I know him. I know Abraham. Can I hide this thing from Abraham? For I know him. And then again, as I've already talked to you about, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they shall keep the way of the Lord to justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Again, the 2 points. Let me just say them real quickly because I've already basically covered them. He knew Abraham because he knew Abraham would command his children correctly and his households after him. The reason that he was a friend of God was because he would command his children and his household after him. Now understand this. The relation that the Lord had with Abraham was determined by how Abraham would rear his children. Is that clear? My relationship with the Lord greatly depends upon how I rear my children and my grandchildren. If you want to be the friend of God, this has to be a part of your family system. And then secondly of all, notice that my blessings, the things that God has promised me over the years of my ministry, over the years of serving Him, the prophecies, the personal prophecies that He's given to me, are dependent upon how I command my children and my households after. If I have done it wrong, then some of the prophecies and the blessings that God's told me He wants to give me, He can't give me because I've done this part wrong. So if there are things in your life that aren't happening, how then are you commanding your children? Well, they're old. I can't do anything about it. Fine. But then command your households after you. At least get your grandkids. That's why. I look at Jewel here. You know, and she'll be the first to tell you, there's been some mistakes in rearing your children, but you're trying to fix them. Right? She's doing all she can to raise that grandbaby in the house of the Lord. She's doing all she can to fix what she's... So that what God wants to do in Jewel's life, she can do. You with me?
So whatever we find ourselves, however we messed up, whatever went bonkers or wrong, as we were doing this thing, we found out that it's wrong, then now fix it in the next generation. The next ones that come along, then fix it. So that God can give you the blessings that He wants to bless you. Hallelujah! It can be fixed. Let me finish up.
See, we, traditional Christianity, wants to blow up the planet. We've already discussed. You won't be so quick to blow that planet up. You have a loved one that's a sodomite. You won't be so quick to call down the judgment of God if one of your children had this problem. Come on now, talk to me. You had a nephew that lived in Sodom. You'd be more likely to go before the Lord and say, Lord, now wait a minute. And I love the way it puts it. It says that in verse 22 first. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. First they looked at Sodom, verse 16. And then they went toward Sodom. And now they're in 19 and 1, they're in Sodom. Who else did that? Remember Lot? Lot looked toward Sodom. Lot pitched his tent, moved toward Sodom. And then we find out Lot's in Sodom. How did Lot's children come out? How did Lot's blessings come out? Got to be careful how we command our children. See? But Lot's in Sodom, and Abram has compassion. And if you're not really closely related to this, then let me tell you some things. Somebody that you love probably is closely related to some of these things. And you got to have compassion, and you need to be as Abram and come before the Lord and say, "Now, Lord, there's something righteous this person's done." And I like the way he puts it here. And Abraham stood yet before the Lord. The angels are the men that were with, as the Bible says, that the men that were with the Lord as they moved towards Sodom. Abraham yet stood before the Lord. Let me try to. I need three guys, three people. You two, come here. And let's do this. Okay. Now you're the Lord, and you're the two guys of the Lord. Okay. Now you look towards Sodom, and you began to move towards Sodom. And Abram's going with them. And all of a sudden, they're moving, and Abram does this. Now, Lord, I want to ask you something. If there's 50 there, do you see that? Abraham stood where? Before the Lord. And then he doesn't stop there. Okay, you guys can come back. I want you to stand right there, though. And he came back. I want you to read the next verse with me, the next part of that, because it gives us the long thing. And Abram drew near. Look, stop now. Wait a minute, Lord. Now, Lord, I want you to know something now. If there's 50 there, will you spare it?
For 50, I will save.
You will. Okay. Well, ask one more time. If there's 45.
For 45, I will
save. If there's 30, would you destroy the righteous? Because if there was 30.
For 30, I will save.
Pray again for me, Lord. I know I'm bothering you now, but and I really honor you. But if there's 20, if there were 20,
or 20, I would say.
One more time, just one more time, just once more. Lord, I pray again for you. If there's 10, if there are 10, Lord, let them speak good of you. Let them.
10, I would say.
That'll be 10. Okay. He drew near to the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, my God. We're going to blow the planet up. So as churchgoers can walk on streets of gold. We're so goofed up because sodomites in the spirit realm have chased men and preached their doctrine. Come on now!
Yeah.
Gotten their seed from another man. Larkin and Darby and Schofield and these sodomites. Oh, I can't put this on television, but they are sodomites. And what they've done is they have polluted and defiled and stopped the kingdom of God. And God's going to destroy it. Is that too clear? Kind of understand how I feel? That's what it is. They're not seeking God. They're not reading the Bible. They're just preaching after another man. They're receiving seed from another man. Anally.
I got plenty of weeks of honor. We can put on weeks and weeks of honor. I'm talking to you. I'm commanding my household. you know you're going to hear the truth. Okay, we're done. One more thought. You see that picture? Isn't that lovely? Find something that people do to spare them rather than finding something they do to destroy them. And go before the Lord with that. Now, was it a done deal? Was it a done deal? Had it already been happened in the annals of the mind of God? If He's the Alpha and Omega, He's outside of time, He's watching this thing go on. Had it already happened? Yes, it already had happened. We understand that. But yet the Lord did that so that you and I can have this picture. Okay, another word for time. I didn't know what I did until I rehearsed what I had just said. Throughout the essence of time, you see, there's this thing that we have to... Well, I'm glad that we can... Quit! Find something. So He's outside of this thing and He's looking at it so that you and I can have this tremendous and beautiful picture. Tremendous and beautiful picture of how we should entreat the Lord for those, even in the sin, sodomy. Lord, there's something they've done. Lord, look, you won't destroy. If they remember when they did this. That's righteous. They did this good. Come on, Lord, don't judge. Spare them. Isn't that a beautiful picture? 50, 45, 30, 40, 30. That's all I got to say today. Is that enough? It's enough. Again, if you don't have someone close to you that is affected by this, you have loved ones, somebody that you love, and they may have never told you, but there's someone closer to you than you think who is under the bondage of this thing. And if it's that way in the natural, then it's that way in the spiritual. And what you have to do is just get them to see. Where are you getting your seed from? Is your church after another church, after another woman? Or is your preacher after a preacher? Is it preachers with preachers and churches with churches? Or are we copulating with the Lord and receiving from His Spirit? And then let's bring it home. Your lap. How are you? Do you get everything that you get from me? Is this all the word you hear? Come on. Is this it? Or do you open that Bible up? Do you open that Bible up? Say, Lord, I need some seed from you. I need to receive the engrafted seed of the Word of God today. Because it is able to save my soul. I'm not able to save your soul. But it is. It's able to save my soul. Is this all you get? You're just chasing after a man. You want our church to be like another one? And it will never be. But we're not chasing after women. But we are, prayerfully and hopefully, and I believe it, we're unique in His sight. As the Word of God came to us today, we've been through it. You've been through it. Remember the word of Kelly Varner last year, not this past time he was here, but the time before he was here? And his word to us was, Judy and I were sitting right here, and he said to us, he says, I don't know what you guys have been through, I don't want to know. He says, but I do know this, that you all will go through it this year. First the head, and it's going to come down. And you guys have been through some stuff this year. But hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's called back. He's called back the appointment of the devil. Am I right?
Yes.
Now, seven times more than you had or we had or I had, seven times more. His appointment has been reversed. And we made it. The song said, I can take it. And I can make it. Hallelujah! Let's stand. Let's do some praise tonight. God is good!
Yeah.
Right. Sure. We have a word here. Give me that. Here we go. I don't know if this is what you were going to say or not, but Paula, is it what you said to me a while ago? Okay. Paula wanted me to remind us that we have we have pregnancies in our body. Of course, Bonnie is. but also Donna Balyas. Is there any others? And Paula was just let me know that she really wasn't that aware that Donna was pregnant. And so I want you all to know, these people need our prayers. Be praying for Donna. Be praying for Bonnie. These are special, special, important times in their life. So just be praying for them. Now, say what you want to say.
When praise and worship first started this morning, the Lord gave me this word. And after we sang that last song about that I know I can make it, I know with the Lord I can do it, I just felt like He wanted me to share it. And what it is, you know, I think each of us have situations in our life that we pray about, and they go on and on, you know. And you get victory, and then you struggle, and you get victory and struggle. And when it's going the way I think it should, you know, I'm okay. And when, you know, I see things not going the way I think it should, then I have a hard time. And the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we've got to keep the joy of the Lord, and we've got to keep that strength. And what He was telling me, a lot of times when I go back and I begin to struggle what I have done, I take my eyes off the Lord, and I start looking at the what ifs. Well, what if this could happen, and this could happen, and this could happen? And He said, don't even go there. Don't even look at the what ifs. Remember the covenant that I have with Him. Remember the promises that I have with Him. And remember in Philippians where it says, think on whatever things are pure and just and good and worthy of praise. Make sure that's what I'm thinking on. Don't even let my mind go to the what ifs.
Think on these things.
All right. Let's sing it out. Let's exalt Him this morning. You are...
We understand, right? Because it terminates the seed. The seed just become, just in the spiritual realm. I'm talking spiritual now. Okay? We want the advancement of the kingdom of God. Okay? So we also want to pray for the realm of the spirit. That the eyes would be opened. That there won't be spiritual sodomites. Men with men. Preachers with preachers. But yet the word of God would come forth into this land. Pure and undefiled. Into the hearts of the preachers to be brought and delivered to this people. Amen? You agree with that? You got that? Okay. Let's pray. Father God, now in Jesus' name. Lord, this has been a heavy word. But Lord, it's also been...